I'm going to be featuring a conversation with Hubert Jean de Tremblay. Hubert is a longtime community activist and artist. I spoke with Hubert about the sustaining importance of a massive collective political movement that happened in Quebec in 2012, a student strike that emerged also as a larger social movement to confront both economic inequality and more generally the privatization of public institutions. This strike movement started as an action against the imposition of heightening of tuition fees for public universities, but then expanded to a much broader critique of neoliberal policy, looking at the effects on labor, the environment, city landscapes, housing, and many other issues. This was a really critical moment, I think, not only for Quebec, but for Canada and North America. And I thought it would be interesting and important to look back at this moment from the vantage point of 2025 and think both about the sustaining relevance of these protests, but also about how to continue to think about the critiques that the voices on the streets raised at that time. So here's my conversation with Hubert Jean de Tremblay, writer, musician, and somebody who has a long connection to the Quebec student movement on Free City Radio. Here it is.
This city has a long history of activism and organizing in different sectors, and one very strong and important sector of organizing has been student movements organizing, student unions and student groups, autonomous collectives, many different layers. And in 2012, there was a very critical moment of months and months of sustained social revolt, really, in a lot of ways. And, you know, that's an interesting thing we can get into. But Hubert Jean de Tremblay has been thinking a lot about not just the moment of 2012, but I think also how we can sort of look back at that moment as being something beyond just the symbol of the Red Square, or the fact that, importantly, that the strike did block that initial push to hike tuition for post-secondary education in Quebec, which was, of course, connected to a global movement all across the Americas. I mean, there was a big, important connection between the student movement in Chile and Quebec, and that has had ramifications for Chile. Also, that's another conversation, but maybe you could just first start by introducing yourself and just sharing a bit who you are, because I first got to know you in the work of, in the context of your work in the student movement.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm an artist and an activist, and I feel I have something to say on the student strike, because I was deeply involved in the student movement for more than 10 years. I've been involved with the Association pour une solidarité syndicale étudiante, the AC, the former national student union, which was called radical or more left wing, if we could say. I was on the executive committee, and having being an important position in the student union, but I also have been involved before and after in more autonomous group related to the student movement. So I feel that position, plus some experience in the community organizing work in the housing committees, I think that I have something to say about that. I've been also involved with the Saboteur Publishing Collective, who published three books on the student movement, and one book in particular, On s'en calisse, written by the Collectif de Débrayage on the 2012 student strike. If some people listening understand French, if they read French, that book, in my opinion, is the best work. It's a collective work. It's the best work to understand that specific movement, the 2012 student strike. Some translations are also available, but more on the web. So yeah, that would be my initial presentation today. I'm more at the confluence of art and politics, being involved in different initiatives that bridge those two different dimensions of life.
So this is a series of discussions to look at the importance of 2012, but also to not historicize it in the sense of understand how it's connected today. So maybe we could just first start by, if you could share one or two points of what you think is relevant and important about what happened in 2012 to consider today, given the political context, the conditions, a simple point could be, people rose up.
Yeah.
Of course, but there's many other layers of context.
Well, I think that really the specificity of that social movement is the kind of weird alliance between an organized institutional student movement, which was represented by the class. So it was a coalition around ASSE. So a student movement which has like long history, important means. In Quebec, we have to understand that the student unions, they get funds from every student through the administration. So they have like important financial means, which have been like in the history of the student movement quite often used to struggle for student issues, but also more widely for different like social justice and initiatives. And so that organized student movement is not like unique in the world, but it's really singular, it's really specific. And it if we want to understand like the beginning of that movement, we have to look at ASSE, its role, the fact how it had like at the moment at the time like many student unions like in different regions of Quebec, thousands and thousands of members, and the strike in 2012 was there was like 7 or 8 student strikes before, between like 1968 and 2012. So there's also a shared repertoire of practices or techniques of the ASSE was organizing training camps to share those techniques to the younger generations. And that was really a strength, because like at some point for many people in their life, the student condition is really short. So memory in those movements can be lost really quickly. But ASSE understood that, and through, for instance, a newspaper, newsletter, but also like those training camps, and like they were really building not only like a kind of like subjective position as like students struggling for their conditions, but also, like I said, a shared repertoire of practice. So on one side you have this, and the strike before, the general strike before the one of 2012 in 2008 was not a successful one. And from that moment in 2008, where the tuition fees were raised for the first time since the 1990s, the student movement, people were organizing knowing that we lost that battle, but we know that the government is going to like push back. They're going to raise again. And so during like those 4 years, people organized like consistent, like not stopping. And so for many people, like 2012 just like appeared like if it was burst from nothing, but in fact it was the product of like strong organization movement, you know, strong like activists, student activists who went like who were touring around like Quebec to talk about the situation during those camps and everything. So that's the first thing. It's like a big, that big like student machine, radical machine at some point that was ASSE. I think that like the student strike, which was, as I said, the social conflict of 2012, would have been possible without first that kind of like organization with all it involves. But the second element to describe that specificity is the fact that what gave the strength, the energy and the power of the movement is the fact that so many small groups and initiatives and autonomous people, they organized during the movement, not waiting for ASSE. And so it's like if at some point the organization was at the center of that movement, got like totally overwhelmed by the situation. It's like if there was something like almost like contagious. I remember that like the demonstrations and the actions were bursting everywhere, and everybody was surprised. If we were like at the, I don't know, like inside a kind of something like totally fluent and moving, and you organize something with your friends, and then you just realize that, like, exactly at the same moment there are two different actions happening, and nobody knows about that, but it was like constantly inventing. And the more radical elements of the strike and the people were more motivated to do like direct action and confrontation with the police were in those autonomous movements. And the strength of that of the student movement at the time was exactly in the kind of weird dance, the weird relation between ASSE, the more like organizational side of the movement, and the most radical and autonomous. And it's really interesting because on both sides, that kind of like alliance didn't last really long, but like for the 8 or 9 months that the strike lasts, well, it worked, and it worked really well. But of course, there were many conflicts inside. Basically, the autonomous side was always trying to push ASSE to go further and to do more radical action, and they were also using the means of ASSE sometimes in ways that, like, the official organizer were not so happy about that, you know. But on the other way, I mean, like the ASSE and the people at the class at the time, they were also happy that so many initiatives happened, and they knew that the power of their action were organizing was also, like, they needed those autonomous groups. And also the fact that, like, these autonomous groups didn't want to talk to the media as well, the fact that ASSE was, like, giving a kind of, like, official figure, which we can discuss, analyze. I mean, like, does those movements, do they always need to have, like, a public figure? I don't know. It's a complex question. But at the time, the population needed through the media's a kind of, like, kind of public... Yeah, exactly. Reference point, as well said.
Well, just rewinding a little bit back to one of the points you raised, which I feel is very important, which is connected not only to the Quebec history of student organizing, but even I'm thinking about New York City, right? And, like, wages for students, you know, and of course that connects even on a much deeper level to Latin America. I've always thought about many aspects of Quebec society as having more echoes with political and social conditions in Mexico and Chile. Of course, there's big differences, but I mean, let's be clear, the entire America's context is colonial. Mm-hmm. But it, and in that recognition, it's always, I think, meaningful to try to find ways that movements echo each other across borders. The reason I bring this up is because what you mentioned about the condition of students, right? I just want to get back to that point, because I think today, even in sort of like quite a few progressive discourses, I don't see enough value and meaning given to the idea of the contribution and the impact on our collective society that inquiry and not non-profit driven research, for example, has in creating spaces, thoughts, possibilities that are beyond or in a different dimension than the market conditions, right? And so this is a big topic, but I do think that at the heart of a lot of what happened in 2012 was a debate about the value of this.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, you know, like the struggle like against the raise of the tuition fees was in fact like a struggle against a certain like vision of life, which was like being imposed on the young people, basically like work all your life in a not so meaningful job just like to pay your bills. And one of the slogans during the demonstrations was work, buy stuff, and shut up. That's what they say to us, you know? Yeah, oui, c'est ça, travail, consomme, et ferme ta gueule, see? Basically, and that's, at the end, that's, I think that was the real enemy, you know? And that's what, like, well, that life that you're saying that we should have. Like, we don't want to have it, you know? We're like anti-capitalists, and we see what work has done to like older people, and we don't want to be like them, you know? We want to have like more time, a more meaningful life. And that's that raise of the tuition fees with the what it imposed on the student condition, like more work and et cetera. I mean, like, that's what people were against. And I think that one of the elements that the autonomous group brought was the fact that, in fact, like, the real moment of the strike, like, was also intensifying this, because then not having to go to school to study, well, the students also, like, just, like, discovered lots of more free time, where you could also like live a more meaningful life, like in your connections and relation in creation, and like that movement was so like so dynamic, so creative. It's crazy. So yeah, I think
I'm thinking about like Fermé or École de la Montagne Rouge, all these creative initiatives, many others.
Yeah, that's it's completely crazy. There's many websites today that like put together different of these initiatives, but that's really inspiring. So yeah, so I think that you're right, and I think that's that relation to a kind of like that rejection of a more like capitalist life with what everything that it implies. I think that you're right, this is like what many social movements are against, you know, in different parts of the world. Yeah. It just like plays differently in different contexts. But like people are saying like this life is not interesting. It's not a meaningful life. We want something else. Your measures and the inflation and everything, you're pushing us to live a life we don't want to have. We don't want to live.
So there's a lot of directions we could go, and thank you for your response. But I just wanted to make sure to ask you this. And what you just said, I think, speaks to an answer in some ways. But I want to ask everybody this question, which is because I remember it was exactly at this time that I got the sense that what we would experience in late February and early March was going to be a major social movement moment. I mean, there was a strike action in the fall. I remember that was significant. Yeah. But it became clear at this time that there was also a certain momentum that was even hard to articulate. So given that, can you just directly speak about why thinking about 2012 as not a historical moment, but something that informs our experience today is important in 2025 in Quebec and also beyond, if you'd like?
That's a big question. I would say quickly that I think that's like for it, it brought and maybe solidified like in many of us potentiality. We know that disrupting social order is possible. We've done it, you know. We know it's not something that happens like in other countries. It's not like impossible, you know. We won against the police in the streets in many occasions. We had the power like to push back like a bad like political initiative, and I think that it's really in that kind of more like subjective dimension how we could, and I talk about like collective subjectivity. How could we collectively do something, change something? Of course, the situation now in 2025 is bad in many extent. So I'm not saying like this is this is done and we could just like actualize that anytime we want. But I think that student strike it kind of like something like has been created in many people, and it cannot be killed, you know. It's there, you know. Like, if there was like people know it's possible, we know some tactics, and even if the situation now is well really difficult and complex in many extents, I think that's one of the big thing that I see that remains, like even if many people are not so motivated these days, we know that something is possible. So I think that that's one of the big something important that we have to think of when we think of the 2012 strike.
Another layer that I think is interesting is that this strike in some ways was revolving around a very specific demand, which was the reversal of this tuition hike. But the context for that demand was way beyond, right? Like, and I think it's important to note that, like, the discussion about colonial history of Quebec and the condition of Indigenous people, the treatment of territories by corporations, you know, a big point of protest was the Plan Nord, which was this government and corporate project that wanted to see the north of Quebec sort of quote-unquote develop like the tar sands in Alberta sort of style, etc. But there's an interesting tension, right? Because there was a sort of tacit agreement that the focus would be the tuition hikes. And that, like, was understood, but still you had people talking about many other issues that relate to what you're talking about, which is the fundamental critique of colonial capitalism, essentially.
No, you're right. It's only with the strike movement of 2015, so 3 years later, that for the first time, well, from what I know, there were specific ecological and anti-colonial demands that were, like, really, like, in the movement. So you're right that in 2012 it was not, like, officially there, but like I mentioned, like, the student movement was always connected to different initiatives. More in terms of international solidarity, I think, at the time than in relation with First Nations. So that's something interesting. It was, like, present, but I think that for many people it was the beginning of that more, like, anti-colonial understanding. But it was there, you're right, in the discussions. And I think that
more in the discussions.
Right? Yeah, and I think that, like, at some point where the Quebec government imposed, like, an exception law, you know, and the clearly, like, the student conflict, which was basically on the student issues, it just, like, went way wider with many people, the larger population joined, you know, with the casserole and everything. I think that also, like, at that moment, the at some point the question of the student fees were just, like, an anecdote at some point, you know. It was like a fight against that government, and that government was so neo-colonial, in particular with the Plan Nord and that. And so I think that was there, that was present, but not explicitly in the discourse of the student organizations.
When you talk about the exception, you're talking about the ban on protests, essentially.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and it was Loi 78. I mean, that law of exception, it was like a measure which forced, many conditions on the demonstration, but also, like, lots of repression. At some point, people involved in the strike could be jailed and everything. So that's the government tried to, well, they never really negotiated with the student leaders, and so they tried to kill the movement by, like, trying to be way more authoritarian. And that's fascinating how, like, the street answered, because at that point, that was in many extent, that was, like, there were some revolutionary elements in that situation. When the whole population, like go outside against a curfew and, like directly said, like, we don't care of your like, almost like martial law. I mean, we're not seeing that so often, like, in the recent history, you know?
So just to note, Hubert Jean de Remblay, who you're hearing, poet, musician, longtime community organizer in different areas, student activist. So we're wrapping up now, and I hope that this conversation has opened some points of reflection for people. But maybe we could just end it very quickly. If you could just sort of underline why having conversations and trying to learn about what happened in 2012 remains important. And I'm particularly speaking to non-Francophones, who I don't think have a full picture of what happened.
Yeah. Well, I think that that social movement was like really, really singular, but also it could be really inspiring for many other social struggles. And I think that even in Montreal, even in Canada, like the absence of like a national student organization which can transmit those that discourse, because the essay has been like has ended soon after the strike. I think it's important. In the absence of like institutional memory in the student movement, we need to bring those analyses and to talk about that really important movement.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Zita.
That was a conversation with Hubert Jean Tremblay, a writer, musician, and longtime community activist, reflecting on the sustaining importance of the 2012 Quebec student strike. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. Thank you to the Social Justice Center at Concordia for supporting the program. We air weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on CGLO 1690 AM, also in Montreal, on Wednesdays at 8 a.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m. on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 a.m. on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. and on CGSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Thursdays at 4:30 p.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. We're also a podcast. Look us up. Just search Free City Radio on your favorite podcast platform. I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Ooh, it's 5 o'clock.